praise the Lord. It feels great to be born again. Let's just say that. So now everyone's asking me, are you nervous? I'm like, no, I'm fine. Until you get up here, it's kind of, you know. But I'm good. It is good to see everyone. Thank you, family and friends. Thank you, Pastor Jim. This is probably, I was joking with Brother Al back there, this is probably one of the hardest churches to preach at, just because you got Pastor Jim, Barry, Sister Jamie, LA, you know, all the other ministers to come. It's like, what do you really preach on? They touch on everything. So it's not that much meat on the bone, but it's enough. It's just enough. So I would like to thank everyone. Thank you to my beautiful wife, Ari. Hello. Wave to everybody that doesn't know you. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and she's definitely a sharp knife. She keeps me on my toes when, you know, just throughout the day, throughout the week, through business, she's just on top of me. Like, no, if I'm sick, I won't really mention it to her. She'll lay hands on me, pray for me in the middle of the night, and likewise back and forth. But I do thank God, because I do recognize he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So thank you. And then my children, hello. Okay, so now this morning I was talking to Pastor Jim, and I'm like, man, you were like on the line of what I was supposed to preach on, in which I'm asking God, like, okay, if you wanted me to preach on this, how come he's talking about the same sort of stuff that I'm supposed to be talking about? But it worked out. He actually went another way, so I was like, okay, God, you know what you're doing. That's what he's doing. So tonight, the title of the message is Spiritual Law Enforcement, or Enforcing. And so it's more from a perspective of, after you're born again, there is a law governing that born again life. Now, I've talked to several believers. Some people still kind of do some of the tenets of the old law, which we are not under, but some people think that we're not under a law at all, which is not true. We are under a law. It's not grace, even though grace is a part of that law. Actually, it is the law of the Spirit of life. So, but what I want to do is just to confirm, because just a quick derail, and I won't try to go on any rabbit trails. Just through listening with Pastor Jim, I've learned to back up everything you say with Scripture, because then you can't refute it. So if you will, can you turn with me to Hebrews 8, chapter 8? And please say amen when you get there. Amen. Okay. So it says, finding fault with them, meaning the Jews, Israelites, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So this is more so, and no one knows who wrote Hebrew. I personally think it was Paul, just because he was really the only one that knew the law well enough to be able to explain the difference between the law and the new covenant. So that's just my opinion. Now also, just another one, just to kind of show what the introduction of the old law to the new law, 2 Corinthians 3, 6. And we'll be going through a couple different scriptures. We won't get any paper cuts, but we're gonna thumb through this thing. So it says, 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So with this, the Apostle Paul is letting us know that we are able ministers, meaning that God has equipped us to be able to teach, preach, exhort, and demonstrate the things of the new covenant. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Okay, so now, Adam is the reason why we're in this thing from the get-go. So just to kind of briefly, I don't want to, Pastor Jim already talked a lot about born again and what it means, but I think it's important to understand why we needed to be born again in the first place. And born again is not the message, but I definitely want to lay a solid foundation. If you will turn to me with Genesis 2, 16, and 17. Say amen when you are there. Okay. So chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So in chapter 2, we're in the middle of God creating, you know, the universe, the animals, man, women, woman. But it's a unique thing he says at the end of chapter 17. He says, thou shalt surely die. Now, that word in the Hebrew, and I am not a Hebrew scholar, so if I butcher these words, please do not crucify me. It says, surely die. The word surely means a primitive root to die, literally, die, dead, slay, or death. And then the word die means the same thing. So verse 17 could literally read, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die, die. So I know God doesn't stutter, and he's not confused on his words. So what he was saying is, Adam, you shall die twice. Now, let me back up just a little bit. We are, and to borrow Pastor Jim's word, a triune singular being, meaning we are spirit that has a soul, the mind, emotions, intellect. That's our soul. And then we're wrapped in a body. So we are three parts. So when God was telling Adam, you shall surely die, he was saying your spirit, which is your true self, that shall die. And then because that is dead, your flesh shall surely die after. So it was two different deaths that happened. And because of that, the Bible says that Adam passed that on to everyone. And so I'm kind of skimming through a lot of this. I know it's more in-depth teaching on this, but I'm just kind of getting to the point. So Adam died spiritually. He passed that spiritual death on to us. So let's go through and see where that is. So in Romans 5:12, you don't have to turn there. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So what happened was, when Adam died, he not only lost the life of God, but just imagine this door, and sin and death is on the other side of that door. Once he disobeyed God, he lost the life of God in his spirit. He still had a spirit, but the life that was in the spirit, he lost it. And then that door was open. Sin, death, destruction came right on in. I'm just kind of bringing up to speed. Okay, so just to kind of clarify the fact that we are spirit, soul, and body, you don't have to turn to this, but James 2:26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Then also 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole body and soul and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 15:44 says, and these are in the middle of different teachings, but I just want to point out the fact of us being spirit, soul, and body. It says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So to kind of put it in perspective, a lot of people, we get born again, and we're like, well, what does that really mean? You know, I know I'm saved from going to hell. Whew, thank you, Jesus. But I really asked God, well, what does it really mean, though? So I guess you can take a light bulb. Let's just take, and it's great that one is out and that one is on. So let's just say the light bulb is our spirit. You see how that light is on. The glass is the body. So we have a spiritual body, and the light would represent the life of God. When Adam sinned, it was like his light was blown out. He still had the physical spiritual body, but the life that was in the body, it left. So that's the difference between born again is born again, not born again. So when it's time to, and it's time for Jesus to come back and he's looking for who is his, this is exactly what he's looking for. Do you have the light? It's not that difficult. You're not, if you're a great person, if you're nice, if any of that, none of that matters unless you have his light, which is born again. And Pastor Jim did a great job explaining, you know, what born again is. But I just want to give a physical, you know, analogy of what it is, because I learned through, you know, parables and different stuff like that. So I just wanted to, you know, go from there. Now, excuse me. Now that we're born again, that life is governed by the new law. So there's rules. Now, you don't have to do works to become born again. It's freely given to us. You just accept Jesus Christ and you become born again. But once you're in the kingdom, there are rules and there are works that we need to be doing. There are expectations that God has of us that we should be doing. He's saying, okay, for example, my son, I have three different children at different ages. My expectation of them are different based on what they do. You know, the baby, he runs around, he's bam bam. He, you know, he's touching everything, he's crumbs everywhere. I don't expect him to know how to clean up. I don't expect him to know how to do certain things. My four-year-old, he's a little different. And if any of you have been around, his name is Titus, and you know him. My expectation of him is a little bit different from Asiel because he's older. And then likewise, Pharaoh, he's seven. I have more expectation of him. So I expect him to get himself ready. He knows how to brush his teeth, put his clothes on, different things like that. So it's the same thing in the kingdom. God expects us to do certain things. Now, I've prepared three main things that God expects us to do. There's way more, but for time's sake, you know, we're going to go over the three that God expects. The very first thing he expects is, once we're born again, is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, I'm not sure which denomination, if you're watching, what you believe, but according to Scripture, particularly Acts 2:38, Acts 10:44, Acts 19:6, everyone who received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it followed by praying in tongues. And it's a reason, though. It's not just like, well, why did everybody pray in tongues? It's a reason why we're supposed to pray in tongues and why God gave us that. It's actually our secret weapon. It's like the military, you know, when they're off to war, they have different codes that they give so that the enemy does not know what they're saying. And so God, his children, he said, okay, I know Satan is down there. I know my children is down there. Let me give them a secret communication way to talk to me directly. Now, there are, in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it talks about four different types of tongues. It talks about diversities of tongues. Now, one is the interpretation of tongues. Two, deep intercessional groanings. Three, assigned to the unbeliever. And four, which is the one I'll focus on, is our personal spiritual growth and edification tool that we use to grow the Spirit. Because once we receive the life of God, that Spirit, we're called babes in Christ. That Spirit is literally a baby, and it needs to grow, it needs to develop. And one of the main tools that God gives us is praying in the Spirit. It allows us to talk to him. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So when we're praying in the Spirit, God is developing us for the things of the Spirit. He's showing us how to live holy. Even though we have that ability, he's showing us how we're supposed to do it. He's showing us how we're supposed to trust him, love him, things we don't know. So essentially what happens is we get born again, we spend time praying in the Spirit. And what he does is he's downloading things to our spirit that in turn downloads it to our soul, our mind, and emotions. So, for example, I could be praying in the Spirit, and it's like, I didn't know that before. Something just appears. I remember one time, excuse me. In spirit, and I was on the couch, and I told my wife this before, and I had been praying like, okay, God, I really just, you know how I am. Once I get a hold of something, I deep dive into it. It's like I become obsessed with it. So I'm like, okay, I'm born again. Okay, I'm going to heaven. But what else is there? It has to be more than I'm supposed to be doing. So as I'm praying in the spirit, I kind of fall asleep. And when I wake up, I'm like, whew, goodness gracious, what's going on? But I notice when I open my eyes up, I looked, my hand was still laying to the side. And I'm like, okay, weird. Trust me. When I say I was like, okay, and I remember this to the T. I remember what commercial was on TV. I remember Pharaoh was young, and my wife was upstairs doing something, folding clothes or doing something. And I'm like, what's going on? So I'm like, okay. And I look around, and I can see everything, and it's me. I'm looking around. I'm not asleep because, like I said, I remember the commercial. I remember what Pharaoh was doing. And I look, and I'm like, how can I feel my head without my hand? So I was like, hold on. So I turn around, and I lift up, and it was like a force that was like, wouldn't let me move. And I looked down, and my body was like, I was like, and then I got up, and it was literally the same commercial. My wife was doing what she was doing, and Pharaoh was doing what he was doing. And I'm like, what was that? And so I didn't understand it for a while. I was kind of weirded out. I did not want to tell anybody because I didn't want people to think I was weird. So I just kind of kept it to myself. But as I was praying, God was letting me know, you have your three parts. That's your spirit inside of your body. So, and he was explaining to me just how it's illegal for you to be on a highway in a vehicle without a vehicle. It's illegal for you to be here on this earth without a body. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, so that kind of really helped me understand the power of praying in the spirit because I received information through praying in the spirit from the Holy Spirit because I ask God questions all the time. I'm like, well, what about this? What about that? I mean, I talk to him. I laugh. I crack jokes. I don't know if he laughs, you know, at my jokes or not. But, you know, I laugh at him. But I think he laughs at him. But I don't know. My wife tells me they're corny, so I don't know. But, yeah, so that's one of the expectations that God expects us to do in terms of praying in spirit. Excuse me. I'm not sick. I was doing the floor, and it was a faulty vacuum, so I was breathing concrete dust for like 8 hours straight, so now I've just been coughing. But anyway, a unique thing about praying in the spirit that I realized is in Mark 4:14, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. Now, I love this. That's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Because as we're praying in the spirit, we're praying God's word. So the actual praying of tongues is the act of sowing the seed. Amen. The word is the seed. Amen. The act of speaking it is sowing the seed. Amen. And the atmosphere is the ground. So it's like, okay, so as I'm praying in the spirit, I don't even know what I'm saying. But I'm doing what Jesus said do, the sower sows the word. So whether I'm sick, whether finances, whether mental health, whatever the situation is, the more that I'm praying in the spirit, the more that I'm sowing that seed into the atmosphere. And God takes it and waters it. And when I praise and worship, it waters. God grows. It lets it develop and grow. And the next thing you know, I got an answer to a problem that I had. It's like, okay, thank you. And he does it all the time. And a lot of times I'll say, okay, God, I'll learn to trust you. I'm learning to trust you. and I'm always going to be a student. Pastor Jim talked about, you know, learning. I will be a lifetime student. There's some people who spend their lifetime getting different degrees. I will forever be a student of the Word. I don't care how much I know, how much I think I know. God always lets me know, you don't know enough. There's way more. It's like you open a room, it's like, oh my goodness, there's so much more to know. It's so much, so many more levels to God. It's like, okay, I'm all in. So praying in the Spirit is just one of the expectations that God has for us. A second expectation is to renew our mind. Now, the mind, that's the soul part. Remember I said we're three parts. We're a spirit that has a soul that's wrapped in this body. So for us to renew our mind, what happens is God is able to use us. Paul talks about not being conformed to this world. Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we renew our mind, what we're doing is we're resetting our mind from the carnal to the spiritual. Because since there's different rules, for example, in the natural, a leg can't grow back. That's just not possible. The medical professionals will tell you, we need to admit you into some type of hospital. That's not possible. But according to the Spirit, it can happen. The molecular structure of a leg can definitely change with the power and the Word of God. But our minds need to know that. If we're born again and we're not constantly renewing our mind to the things of God, meaning studying to show ourselves approved, praying in the Spirit, worship. I call them the four pillars. Pastor Jim talks about it. Prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. If we're not renewing our mind with those things, then we become stagnant and God can't really use us. Because at the end of the day, God's desire is not just for us to, I mean, he wants us to be saved and go to heaven, but his ultimate desire is for us to be mature believers and develop and to think like him, act like him, not deity-wise, but just from the perspective of we're his literal children. We are his children. So my children, I tried to train them up in the way that they should go according to Scripture, but my ultimate goal is for them to be able to remember what I've taught them, and God wants us to read his Word, study his Word, keep our minds focused on things above. And that means that we're not so focused on earthly things that we miss the things of God. And it's the saying that says, you're so spiritually minded, you're not earthly good. I don't really believe in that, because the Word says the opposite. It says, keep your mind focused on things above. That means whatever God has, whatever he's saying, that's what we're supposed to focus on at all times. I mean, yeah, we have things that we do throughout the, you know, world and the natural world, but the main thing is for us to focus on the Word, focus on God. And, you know, this is definitely for me, because I'm one of those visual type people. I when I think about something, I visualize it. So my main thing is, and one of these days I'll tell you my testimony. Everybody's not ready for your testimony. God told me that. So I may have to do it in pieces because it's a lot. But one of the things that God focuses on me, I'll tell you a little bit. One of my main things was money. Money was my identity. So, and my wife would tell you, when I've always wanted to make money, I've always made money. So when I first got saved, it was like, I don't know about that. You know, how am I going to make any money? You know, I'm so used to being in charge of my own destiny in terms of, you know, things that I was doing, bringing in money. And so when I met my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, she was like, man, you're going to have to do something different, because this life is way too scary and way too weird, and I'm not about this. So she definitely helped me, and like I say, the Word helped me to renew my mind and think on the things of God. And God showed me, listen, I can help you make money. This is all mine. Like, what are you talking about? Money? That's it? That's all you're worried about? Is money? So he is literally, because it's like I had money and things, but it was like I wasn't happy. One day my wife asked me, she said, what makes you happy? And I was like, we were in a car, and I just paused, and I'm like, being born again. Because in my mind, I know the difference from where I came from to where I am, and that came through renewing of the mind, because now I know the difference. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm so used to making all this money. Now you said you're going to show me, and he's literally exploded my business to where I honestly can't keep up. It's like when Peter casts his net on a fish, he's like, okay, so now it's more so, okay, Lord, show me how to manage. Show me how to be a good steward. Show me how to use wisdom in my decision-making, being an honest businessman with integrity, and just show me the things that I need to know, because I know that we're not supposed to fall in love with money. Money is just a tool that we use, for one, to help the kingdom grow, and also to help other people. Pastor Jim talks about helping the Lazarus that are laid at your feet, because you can't help everybody. But the people who are laid at your feet, you do help. So anyway, the renewing of the mind has definitely helped me. And everything I'm talking about here, God spoke to me first about making sure that these are the things that I'm doing, especially the renewing of the mind, because the mind, the soul controls everything. You can fight against your new nature. You can fight against your born-again spirit and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But renewing of the mind makes it to where the fight is easier. And then fasting, obviously, denying yourself. But 2 Corinthians 10:4, 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now this is the one that I try to practice the most, because if I'm working out, if I'm praying, whatever I'm doing, I make sure that, okay, my mind doesn't drift, because it's easy to pray in the spirit and then next thing you know, you're watching a movie and you're not even thinking about what you're doing. You're just praying in the spirit, which is just still edifying yourself. So if that's what you need to do to pray in the spirit more, I mean, obviously we're not watching R-rated movies and stuff like that, but that's just one of those things where I try to bring my mind into subjection and make sure I'm not violating or disheartening the mind and heart of God by my thoughts. Because believe it or not, your thoughts definitely come to reality if you think about them long enough. If you let your mind drift and you're thinking about stuff that you're not supposed to, eventually you start speaking it. And what did Jesus say? Even though the sower sows the word, you can still sow some bad stuff too, the tares. When Jesus gave the example about the wheat and the tares, depending on what you're sowing, you can be praying in the spirit, confessing God's word, but you're also sowing tares also that's growing with the wheat, that's growing with the good. But all that comes to the mind first, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more our mind is focused on God, the more we speak the things of God. So that is the renewing of your mind. And now the third thing is we're to use our authority. A lot of times, just imagine a police officer and they're just sitting there having a coffee and a bank robbery is going on and they're like, whew, glad I'm not them. It's like, wait, what? It's like, wait, right? He just knocked the old lady on top of the side of her head. So the thing is that their authority says they're supposed to go and do something about that. But imagine if they didn't. It's like they would be no good. God trusts us with his power. He trusts us with his wisdom. He trusts us to use our authority. Now, that means, like I say, finances. If you are in a financial struggle and you were born again and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is your duty to use your authority to speak that thing out and to trust God. So, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus, you supply all my needs. You know, we're sowing the seed. A lot of times we think we need to do this and do that, but really it's more so speaking it. We use God's word as a weapon that he's designed it for, and we're to use our authority. If we're sick, I know me and my wife bounces back and forth. If we're sick or something like that, I'm like, hey, I'm not feeling it. Can you pray for me? And she's like, okay, yeah. You know, she does it. And likewise, you know, and then sometimes I'm like, man, I'm not feeling good. She was like, well, you just ain't trusting God. I'm like, really? Okay. But then when it's her turn, I'm like, well, you're just not trusting God. And she's like, you know, but that's just one of those things where I try to practice small things using my authority. And I even practice on my kids. When they go to sleep, I pray over them. I say, Lord, protect their dreams, protect their mind. And it's practice. It's small things. It's little bitty things. Titus might say, Dad, I got a boo-boo. And, you know, he has a little cut. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. And so now he's going around like, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. You know, he's doing that. But it's the small things that lead up to the bigger things. And they're getting used to speaking God's word. I'm getting the practice that I need of speaking God's word, praying over myself, praying over my wife, praying over my loved ones, and just using my authority. And not saying that it's wrong to come up for prayer or have people pray for you, but I definitely believe that, Lord, you have given me the authority. You said in your word, and I'm quick to throw that back up, like, Lord, well, hold on now. You said in your word, and he's like, I did say in my word. So I might say, okay, Lord, I need your healing for this. He's like, well, why are you telling me? Do something about it. Yeah. I'm like, hold on. Is he talking to me? No, just for me. But it's true. You know, a lot of times we go to God and he's like, okay, what are you telling me for? I remember I made Pharaoh some pizza one day. He's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, why are you telling me? You're a fool right there. You want me to feed it to you? So a lot of times there's things that we ask God for that he's like, I've already provided for you. Use your authority. You have it. Why are you asking me? So I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm just waiting on God to do this and do that. And he's like, no, you're not. I've already done it. You're not waiting on me. Like, you do it. You do it. I've given you authority. And the reason he doesn't do that to be mean, he needs us. He needs us to minister to those who need it. So we talk a lot about revival. Well, guess what? These are a lot of the principles that we need to know when revival does happen. There are going to be a lot of people to come in here that need healing, that need mental healing, that need emotional healing, they need physical healing, that may not know about the fine. Just a lot of different things that God is relying on us to do. He's relying on us to make sure that we're prepared. We're using our authority to minister to ourselves first and to other people. So if I have all this power and all this authority and I don't share it, then God's like, what are you doing? Like, he didn't call us to be stingy with the authority. And I know, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but God does not kill people off, ministers, believers. Because I heard something on Facebook one day, and I was just like, ugh. And I remember Pastor Jim said, don't engage. And I said, okay, I won't. But the guy was saying, he was a preacher, he was saying, he was talking to God, and he was like, why should I praise you? You know, my wife is dying, you know, this and that. And so why should I praise you? And he said, God told him, well, you don't know, this is my will, and she'll be okay with me. I'm thinking like, well, God, why would God raise somebody, teach them his word, prepare them, develop them, just to kill them. If anything, God wants us to use our authority to continually heal ourselves, because of Genesis 3, the body is going to get sick, period. It's not always the devil. He may use some of the things that are happening, but because, remember, Adam opened that door up and let sickness, disease, death come in, then the body is subject to those things. But again, once we're born again, we have a new spirit. We don't have a glorified body yet. Trust me, my wife lets me know regularly, I need to put that brownie down, so I don't have a glorified body yet. But it's up to us to use the authority of our new man to administer healing and whatever the needs are, as long as they're according to God's will, to whoever needs it. And I don't have to ask God, Lord, if it be your will, heal me. I know it's his will. That's the thing. If I'm saying, God, if it be your will, he's looking at me like, well, you don't know my will. You need to get in my word and see my will is to heal you. My will is to prosper you. My will is to make sure that you have everything you need in this life and in the next life. So I'm not saying, you know, live your best life now. I know that's a popular message, and I'm not even going to touch on that. But the thing is that according to our authority, one of the things is for one to study to show ourselves approved. When we do that, we learn his will. Once we learn his will, we're able to administer his will. Once we administer his will, we're able to see the physical manifestation of his will, mean healing, prosperity, love, joy, peace, so, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but our born-again spirit. We're able to see those fruits because we're following the pattern that he has set. Now, one of the things that the Lord had been dealing with me on is according to the authority that he has given us, a lot of times I was like, okay, well, Lord, if you've given us authority, give me wisdom according to of the authority that you've given me so that I don't go outside of that authority. Because that can happen too. We can go outside of the authority of God. I've heard some believers use the words, well, according to my authority, I hope God kills Sister Bob or whoever. You know, it's some weird stuff going on out there. But the thing is that we have to be lined up with God's word. And so we have to make sure we're praying in the Spirit. We have to make sure that we're developing. And one thing I did want to mention about the praying in the Spirit is that praying in the Spirit is, and I love the whole teaching. I just dive deep. If you haven't heard Walk of the Spirit, Walk of the Power, the book by Brother Dave Roberson, oh my goodness. And then Pastor Jim has a message, a teaching series that I've listened to probably a billion times, not literally, but it literally walks you through why we should pray in the Spirit, what it is, what it does. So on the website, anyone listening, watching, go to JMM Grace and look up the teachings and look up Walk of the Spirit, Walk of the Power. Oh my goodness, it will bless you. And one of the things that God showed me is it controls a lot. For example, if I go into the weight room and I go to the bench press and I put on 225 and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to get it. But it's my first time. I haven't developed the spiritual muscles to lift that weight. What praying in the Spirit does, it develops your spiritual muscles to be able to use your authority properly and have the strength to do so. So if you've never prayed in the Spirit and you're like, you know what, I see someone with cancer, I'm going to go heal them. Well, I don't know if you have enough spiritual muscle to do that, meaning faith. That's how we build up our faith. And the word talks about really faith comes by hearing the word, but the development of faith comes by praying in the Spirit. So I just wanted to, you know, double back on that. But I really believe that God has a lot more expectations, but I wanted to focus on the top three that I thought about. And I mean, there, like I said, there's many more, and hopefully we'll be able to go through some more at a later time. But I really think that when I was preparing this message, I was like, okay, Lord, I have all these different things I can talk about. What do you want me to focus on? And I believe that these were the things that actually complemented what Pastor Jim talked about this morning about being born again. So this is more so now that we are born again, what are we supposed to be doing? So I really appreciate you guys listening. You have been great. It's my first time, so I was a little nervous, but God said he was going to be with me, and he was. So please stand.